Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given either by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. In our study this morning, I'd like to consider the question of, is God responsible for suffering? Well, where did suffering originate? Well, we know it began with Adam, and we read about that in Genesis chapters 2 and 3. Suffering and death entered when sin entered, and it continues because sin continues. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So we see God allowed the death of his Son to provide for us life. In the 21st verse of Romans 5, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." See, sin originated, but it is not inherited. In John 9, we read about a man who had been blind from birth. And in verse 2, his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents have sinned, but that the works of God might be revealed in him." So we see this man was not blind due to anyone's sin. He didn't suffer as a consequence of anyone's sin. You see, disease and death come upon us all. So why do we suffer? Well, there are various reasons. One reason that we suffer is maybe because we do evil. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it's in verse 15, it says, "Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters." You see, suffering can be caused by our own conduct. If I commit fornication and I get some kind of sexually transmitted disease, whose fault is that? Is it God's? Let's say I steal a car, and when I get caught, I go to jail. Whose fault is it that I'm in jail? Is it God's? No. See, I made the choice. I made the choice to commit fornication. I made the choice to steal a car. Now, God forbid that we attribute sin to him. It's in Romans 6 that we read in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" So we can suffer because of the evil things that we do. But also, going back to that same passage in 1 Peter 4 and verse 15, where we saw that we can suffer because of the evil that we do, let's notice what verse 16 says. "But if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." So you see, we can suffer because we do good. Living right is not always respected by others. It's not always appreciated. And so suffering can occur when, even when we do what's right. And then, too, we can suffer because of no fault of our own. In Luke chapter 13, we have a conversation beginning with verse 1. There was present at that season some who told Christ about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. See, we assume that if they were suffering, they must have been severe sinners. Back in 1960, my dad got shot deer hunting, and I remember there was a person that asked him that, you know, what sin have you done? Well, you know, this idea of no worse than anyone else, that doesn't teach us that someone is worse than another, but what Jesus is saying here in these verses is that we all need to repent. We know that death is appointed. Hebrews 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. See, it's appointed. It's not been predetermined. So suffering and death is something that falls equally upon us all. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 45, that we may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So then, where does God fit in this thing that we're dealing with? Is God responsible for suffering? Well, first of all, we need to understand something about God's will. First of all, when it comes to God's will, there is his sovereign will. That is, God desires certain things, and he alone decides concerning those things. No one can limit God. We know in Isaiah 14, verse 27, "For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" But see, this is only one aspect of God's will. Another part of God's will is his permissive will. God desires, but he permits man to decide in some things. God provides escape for temptation, but he doesn't force us to take it. We read about this in 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 13. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." And two, God desires righteousness, but we can choose evil. In Romans 6 and verse 16, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness?" So does God have a plan that he desires for my life? Well, certainly. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, does God force me to follow it? No. Remember what Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15? "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." And he said that if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then he said, "Yet as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Does God pick and choose who suffers today? Well, no. It's against his character. Remember the statement that Peter made in Acts 10 and verse 34? Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." James tells us in James 1 and verse 13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." And yet we know we live in a world where we can see here is a child that's sick with cancer. Or we read about a horrible car accident. Or we see some natural disaster that has occurred in some part of the world or even in some part of our country. We read in history of men like Hitler, of Saddam Hussein. Well, what is God's connection in all of this? Well, first of all, we know and must admit that he created us. In Genesis 1 and verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." But we find that when God created us, he created us in purity. In Genesis 1 and verse 31, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." But it's in Genesis 3 that we have Satan entering the picture. And we see in Genesis 3 that when presented with the temptation to eat of the forbidden fruit, there was a choice made. And they chose to pervert the purity in which God had created them. And they perverted their purity through the sin that they committed. So mankind is responsible for the existence of sin. Mankind, therefore, is responsible for the existence of suffering and death, not God. To blame God because he created us, that has consequences. And are we prepared to blame the parents for bringing a sick child into the world? You know, again, going back to what we referred to earlier in John 9 concerning the man that had been blind from birth, the question, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents?" And we remember Jesus' answer, "Neither this man nor his parents have sinned." So, sometimes generic answers are all that we have. Sometimes specific answers are impossible to find. So we're just going to have to admit that to ourselves, when we are looking for answers, and to others, when they come to us for answers. So trying to blame and find blame often distances us from those that can help us the very most. And this is especially true when it comes to God. God is the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the Father of all comfort." And we know that he is the God of peace. Philippians 4, verse 7. "And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." We see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Unto them we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.